Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us. Coming up next hour, civil rights icon, Hall of Fame tennis champion Billie Jean King will be with me. Last night I was listening to about an hour and a half long audio documentary where she's talking about her career growing up in Long Beach and playing at the Virginia Country Club and, of course, being an international tennis star, the founding of the Women's Tennis Tour. And by the time I was done listening to it, I was ready to go out and conquer the world. She's so inspirational. Billie Jean King is going to be with us next hour on Air Talk. I know you won't want to miss that. But right now, we must turn our attention to COVID-19. As you just heard on NPR Hourly News, the Centers for Disease Control recommending that Americans not travel over the Thanksgiving weekend. This is not an order, but it is a strong recommendation from the CDC that it would not be in our best interest to travel over the holiday weekend. There are a number of concerns, of course. One of the ones cited by the CDC are the difficulties in being able to distance in airport lines with more people traveling for the holiday weekend. With us to talk about the challenges is Dr. Dean Blumberg, professor of medicine and chief of pediatric infectious diseases at UC Davis Children's Hospital. Dr. Blumberg, welcome back. Wonderful to have you with us.
Yeah, good morning, Larry.
So your thoughts about the CDC making this strong recommendation make sense to you?
It makes sense to me. It's been a gradual ramp up of these recommendations, and I'm glad to see more clear messaging on this, because what we've seen is kind of a mixed bag. Sometimes there's been messaging, don't travel and don't interact with those outside your household for Thanksgiving. And then others are giving recommendations for how to have Thanksgiving with others and ways to mitigate the risk. So I think it can be confusing at times as people approach this Thanksgiving dilemma.
Well, and what are your thoughts about having more than just the immediate household as a part of Thanksgiving dinner? Is there a number that you think the risk reward makes sense, where there might be some family members or friends included, or you think that's too much risk to take?
Well, the safest thing to do is to follow all the recommendations, which are to social distance and mask when you're with people from anybody outside your immediate household. And so that would preclude having a Thanksgiving dinner where you have to unmask. That being said, a lot of people have been saying, let's do Thanksgiving dinner outside. And if you really do follow the rules of social distancing so that you have tables that are set 6 feet apart, and people from different households do not get within 6 feet of each other, that could potentially work. I just don't see that people will really follow all those guidelines, though. I think that will be very, very, very difficult to do. The other number to keep in mind is that we found from modeling and investigations that it's clear that there's widespread transmission when there's not social distancing, and the magic number appears to be 10. So if people are coming in contact with more than 10 people outside of their household, then that leads to these explosive surges in the community of infections. If it's less than 10, infection seems to be much better controlled within communities.
We're talking with Dr. Dean Blumberg, UC Davis Children's Hospital. We welcome your calls, your questions for him at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. In our next segment, we're going to be talking about the kinds of pressures that family members and friends are navigating over Thanksgiving. I'm going to invite you to call and talk about the circumstances in which you find yourself if you are being pressured, how you're dealing with that. That's coming up next segment on Air Talk. Your thoughts, Dr. Blumberg, about the biggest risks in traveling by air over the holiday or any other time?
Yeah, I think clearly the biggest risk is if you can't social distance. So what I'm hearing from the airlines is they're all being very good in terms of enforcing mask wearing. And we know that mask wearing reduces transmission approximately 70%. So that's great. But that's not 100%. And so social distancing is also beneficial. So if they do have crowd control, at all the lines at airports, at security, when checking in, when lining up to board on the aircraft. That will be very useful. And then many airlines are still blocking middle seats, which decreases the concentration of people that you're close, that you're within that 6 feet bubble.
Dr. Blumberg, you know, at that French Laundry dinner that Governor Newsom attended, there were two leaders of the California Medical Association who were also at that dinner, and that, you know, that sort of thing fuels skepticism from the public about the risk of COVID-19. You know, what do you say to that, and how do you explain that, you know, leading officials of a health organization would be in a risky environment like that?
Yeah, I can't speak for the California Medical Association, but what I can say is that that just doesn't look good at all, and it's not following the guidelines. And so people need to follow the guidelines, and people who are in public positions especially, they need to be aware of how their actions in public, how that can look to others. So that's just not a good look. The one thing about, you know, the French Laundry is a lot of the people were dining outside, so that's good. The French Laundry is a very professional organization, I'm hearing that all the servers were wearing masks. That's great. But the diners were not wearing masks. Of course, you can't when you're out in a restaurant. And even if the tables are 6 feet apart, again, you're not distanced among people at your own table. You're within 6 feet of them. So when you're taking your mask off at an outdoor dining establishment and you're going to socialize with people outside your household, that's a risk. That's going to be a risk for transmission, and that's not something that we're recommending. We should be avoiding those risks.
Well, beyond the symbolism of it, though, it gives the impression that there are some people who believe COVID-19 is not as serious as all the public health indications, our fatality rate, hospitalization rate would indicate. And I don't know, it's just such a head scratcher to me that they would not see the seriousness of it that I think so many of us do.
Well, you would hope that people in these positions of power and leadership would try to be role models. And so I think it is very important to walk the walk.
All right, we're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org, with your questions about COVID-19. Let's talk about what we're seeing here in Southern California, Dr. Blumberg. In Los Angeles County, with the boom that we've seen in positive test results and increasing hospitalizations over the past week or so, public health officials are still finding it a bit of a head scratcher as to what is driving it. What are your theories?
Well, in most of the state, what I'm hearing is after the contact tracing is done to try to figure out where people are getting these cases, many of them are coming from indoor gatherings with people outside of your household. So these might be dinner parties or other gatherings. Unfortunately, the contact tracing can only go so far. You need to have the adequate contact tracers, and you also need to have adequate cooperation by the public so that they can share their activities. The reason this is so important is the contact tracing provides scientific evidence that helps us inform what the appropriate next steps are. Of course, we'd like to not go into a complete shutdown or lockdown, but if we can do the contact tracing and figure out which activities are actually risky and which aren't, then we can have a more nuanced approach. And I'll give you one example. So we know that in Missouri, there were two hairstylists that were infected and symptomatic, and they had over 100 clients that they exposed. And after investigation, they found no transmission to those clients. And everybody was wearing a mask, the stylist and the client. And so that's very reassuring to me. That shows that, you know, if you're going to do a lockdown, fine, you can do one, but don't, you know, keep hair salons open. So there's one business that doesn't have to close because we've got information that shows that that activity is safe.
So, but a restaurant, you can't keep your mask on at all times indoors. So that would be a different circumstance.
Right. So what we found were bars definitely were definitely risky. The contact tracing showed that, and restaurants are the same way, that if you're going to be with people outside your household in a restaurant, even if the tables are distanced apart, you're taking your mask off to eat and drink, that's going to be risky. And especially people, if they're at restaurants and they're having alcohol, that's going to lower inhibitions, and then people are less likely to follow the guidelines.
Patrick in Northridge asks, my daughter lives in Seattle. I'm wondering if it's safe enough for me to travel to see her via car. She gets tested once a week. My exposure will be limited since I'll be spending most of the time getting up there inside my car. What do you think, Dr. Blumberg?
The safest way to travel definitely is by private automobile, because you're exposed to very few people. So there's no risk while you're in the car, and then when you stop to refuel, you can make sure to sanitize your hands after touching the gas pump and limit your contact with others. And then it just depends at how well he and his daughter are quarantining and social distancing. Being tested once a week and getting a negative test is reassuring, but it's important to realize that after you get that swab, after you get that test, you could still be incubating the virus and turn positive after that. And the majority of transmission is occurring from people who are showing no symptoms, either because they have asymptomatic infection or they've yet to develop symptoms.
Dr. Blumberg, let's talk about another one of the vaccines in phase 3 clinical trials. This one, the Oxford-AstraZeneca vaccine. We already heard Pfizer and Moderna give positive results, about 95% effectiveness rate for their vaccines. This one, apparently after independent review, showing that it is effective for older test subjects in phase 3. We don't have a percentage attached to that, but your thoughts on what we're hearing from the Oxford-AstraZeneca trial.
Yeah, I think these results were to be expected based on the information they've released so far. The vaccine is certainly very immunogenic. There's a very strong antibody response as well as cell-mediated immune response, and they've already released those results. They have some primate studies that suggest that it's protective, so we needed the proof that it protected in humans also. But these are not surprising results. This has always been considered one of the very strong vaccine candidates.
Dell in Burbank says, do the antibody tests that are available indicate how long ago a person was infected with COVID-19?
They can. They can't give an exact answer to that, but they can give you an idea. The antibody tests that are sent can test for IgM antibody, which generally appears about 5 to 7 days after infection, and then it fades over the course of a few weeks. The IgG antibody response generally starts occurring a little bit later, and that lasts longer. We don't know how long that lasts, but generally that's long-lasting antibody.
866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Rod in Montrose, good to have you with us. Your question.
It's more of a statement. Hi, thanks for having me. I am a cinematographer, and this last 30 days I've been flying a lot for work. I think I've had like 15 or 14 flights.
Wow.
So I just wanted to share my insights really quick on what air travel is like. I fly American, and I would say that in the terminal, there's zero enforcement of masks. There's just no one who's taking that responsibility. There's, you know, announcements made at the gate, but that's never enforced. And on the plane, they've been doing a pretty good job of making announcements and sort of taking and, you know, watching and looking. But I would say consistently, there's about 20-30% of the passengers aren't covering their noses with the mask, which to my mind makes it totally, you know, ineffective.
Yeah.
And it makes it pretty stressful. I'm very, very serious about, you know, COVID. I get tested frequently. So flying is, it's not in any way a pleasurable experience if you're taking it seriously.
Well, I'm glad you're working. That's a good thing given what's happened with the economy. But I understand the stress with all the flights you've gone on. Do you ever say anything to anybody or just feel like that's courting trouble?
I have times, like, you know, if someone right next to me is not wearing their mask or it's slipped off, I'll just sort of, you know, tap them and gesture to my mask, and they've been pretty good about putting it back on. But just yesterday I was on a flight from Dallas to LA, and the woman across the aisle in one row up consistently was taking off her mask. As soon as the flight attendant turned the back to her, and very much like flouting the rules. And so I kept ringing, you know, the flight attendant call button just to make sure that they were aware of that.
Yeah. And so did they intervene and ask her to put it back on?
Yeah, they did. And she would put it back on. I think about the third time she finally got the picture. kept it on.
And what's the degree of capacity on the flights you take?
So American Airlines is not keeping the middle seats open. They pack the flights to the best of their ability. I know Delta is keeping the middle seats open, last I heard, but I don't fly Delta, unfortunately, because all my miles are on American.
Okay. And so are the planes fairly full?
No, they're almost totally full. I would say they're almost at capacity.
Wow.
From what I can tell, it seems like, you know, because of COVID, there are fewer flights. Certainly fewer direct flights. And so they're packing more flyers onto fewer planes.
Has that led to tension between passengers? And I'm not even speaking directly about masks, but just because people are maybe more uptight about traveling. Has that made for any tense moments that you've witnessed?
Yeah, absolutely. There was, I'm laughing because it's so uncomfortable, but there's been times when passengers are, you know, I've got attendants trying to get passengers to put masks on, and that's one thing. But then just like 2 days ago, there was a woman in first class, and I was just behind first class, who was coughing throughout the flight. And another passenger was angry about that and saying she shouldn't, you know, the coughing passenger shouldn't be traveling. And the defense that the coughing person put out was, I travel all the time. Which is like,
well, gee, that's a logical response. Rod, thank you. I appreciate your describing for us what air travel is like. Dr. Dean Blumberg, UC Davis Children's Hospital. You have concerns about planes that are that full, and, you know, people with their noses exposed walking around airports and sitting on flights that way?
Yeah, that drives me nuts, too, when I see people with the mask either below their nose or on their chin under their mouth or, like, hanging off one ear or something like that. It doesn't work that way. So, yeah, and you know, I've been wearing masks because I'm a medical professional. So in the hospital, like, everybody knows how to wear a mask. So it is a good reminder. But we're all learning new skills now in terms of, like, how to properly wear a mask. It's a different world. But that is a good reminder. We know that, like, the professional sports leagues have been educating everybody. The NFL in particular has been, you know, giving large fines to coaches who aren't masking appropriately, who take their masks off. So I think it is an opportunity for everybody to learn how to wear a mask appropriately. And you know, the Rob's story about the woman coughing, you know, even if she's coughing and it's not an infection, like, it's allergies, I mean, you have to be aware of the level of uncertainty that people have and concern people have out there. And you really shouldn't be out in public if you're symptomatic like that. It's going to cause a lot of concern among people. So certainly for Thanksgiving, you know, if you're planning on going to somebody else's house, which we're not recommending, you know, if you're ill, just don't do it. And if you're ill, don't host. Keep people away. That's, you know, you just can't do that. You can't take that risk.
I was in the supermarket doing shopping, and I got a tickle in my throat. It's perfectly healthy, but I've tried to hold back from coughing because I don't want to raise any concerns of people around that, you know, I'm sick and have brought it into the market. And I'm trying to, it's very, very challenging. And maybe some other listeners can relate to having that sort of a thing, a tickle in one's throat or whatever, and having to exit the market so you could cough. We'll continue our conversation with Dr. Dean Blumberg, UC Davis Children's Hospital, pediatric infectious disease specialist. I want to hear from you. If you're having challenges negotiating or saying no to family members or friend groups about getting together over Thanksgiving, how are you managing that? It's a lot of stress, I know. 866-893-KPECC. We can do it safely. Oh, come on. We can do it. Everybody will be spaced out. We'll wear masks. Yeah. All right, we'll hear what you have to say coming right up on Air Talk in just 1 minute. Have you been the subject of gentle or perhaps even more assertive verbal arm twisting from family members or friends about getting together on Thanksgiving? How are you dealing with that? Is there a comparatively safe way to combine households or not? We continue with Dr. Dean Blumberg of UC Davis Children's Hospital, where he's professor of medicine. We're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. LA Mama writes on the page, wearing a mask is like faith. Either you believe or you don't. I know of nurses who do not wear masks outside of work. I know of someone whose mother died of COVID, yet she, who had tested positive, still went out to do errands. I've stopped arguing with folks. Simply take care of myself. That's LA Mama writing on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Pseudonym writes on the page, if people have been following the guidelines but are beginning to slip and quarantine fatigue, they just need to hold on a little longer. There is a light at the end of the tunnel with vaccines. As my wife put it, we've done so well for the last 8 months. Why give up now? We just need to hang on a little longer. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. I look forward to having you talk about your experiences with Thanksgiving. Dr. Blumberg, let me start with you. Has this come up with your colleagues at the medical center or with family members, sort of challenge? You know, what do you say when people are trying to convince you to get together?
Yeah, it has come up, and I know that many of my colleagues are planning to get together with extended family for Thanksgiving. And, you know, people rationalize it and they say, well, they've been safe and I've been wearing my mask all the time. And, you know, I don't do errands and all. And, you know, it's still a risk because that mask does not work 100% of the time. So it's like, I don't know, it's like driving like a little bit drunk or something. Like, you know, you probably won't get in an accident, but it's just not safe and it's not recommended. So people are doing that.
I want to ask you about surface contact as well, because, of course, for those getting together, many people are going to be wiping down surfaces and putting a lot of effort into that. But do we have a sense from the contact tracing we've been ever able to do that surface contact, surface exposure is one of the major ways it's spread?
I'm not aware of any outbreaks that have been related to surface exposure or food or anything else. I mean, and the primary route of transmission is the respiratory route. Early on, there was concern about surface transmission because studies show that the virus can be detectable on surfaces for up to 3 days, depending on the type of surface and the temperature and the humidity. But it just hasn't been shown to be transmitted that way. So all the wiping down of surfaces, the disinfection, the deep cleaning, that's great for other things. That'll help prevent staph or norovirus infections and other things, but it's just not going to have an effect for COVID.
All right. Let's talk with Julianne in beautiful Joshua Tree. Good to have you with us on Air Talk.
Hi.
Hi. Go right ahead.
My daughters and I and my boyfriend celebrated Thanksgiving this Monday because of work schedules, and we were outdoors on a patio about 8 feet apart, my boyfriend and I, from my daughters. We had a microwave outside on an extension cord. We had to-go food from a restaurant. I was the only person who touched any of the utensils as far as serving it. We had masks on when we weren't eating. It certainly wasn't a normal Thanksgiving, and it was better than nothing. But my younger daughter feels like I'm the only person who's being this strict, and everybody else she knows is going home to Thanksgiving with their parents.
Yeah.
And why do we have to be the only ones, blah, blah, blah. And I told her, if you'd listen to the news more, I think you would not feel that I'm being a fanatic. But she still kind of feels that way. My boyfriend has lots of respiratory issues. All four of us have asthma. Both my daughters go out in the world and work. I'm retired, so is my boyfriend. So it's stressful to me that my daughter feels like I'm taking her fun away.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing, and, you know, you undoubtedly have thought of this, you may just be taking the brunt of, you know, the unhappiness she feels that all of us feel over how much our lives have changed and how much we want the Thanksgiving of last year and the previous years. And, you know, you being close to her, you sort of may have been in the way of that as opposed to it being personal about your judgment.
Well, she's single. She doesn't have a relationship. Her sister does. I do. So she's also facing Christmas without the usual stuff and without somebody. So yeah, it's all coming down at once. It's making her sad. It's hurting everybody. We're all hurt and angry.
Julianne, thank you for sharing your experience. I appreciate it so much. 866-893-KPECC. It's time for us to talk about what you're experiencing with family members or friends wanting you to get together with them, and perhaps you're not comfortable or you want to establish certain protocols that you believe would make it for a safer gathering, size or otherwise. How are you negotiating that? How are you dealing with that? And has it, do you think, done at least short-term damage to some of those relationships? 866-893-KPECC, the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Debbie in the West Adams District says, there are about five of us all getting tested. If we all test negative, how safe is that to gather? And I presume from Debbie's question that the five are from five separate households, or at least multiple households.
Yeah, so it's safer, obviously, when they test negative, but that still doesn't mean that they can't be incubating it at the time of the test, and so they test negative then. But they could test, you know, they could test positive any time in the next 2 weeks. So it's still a risk of transmission. So we're still not recommending it. But there are several recommendations for college students who are returning home for Thanksgiving to get tested before they leave campus, to get tested when they return to campus. And sure, the increased testing will help detect cases and encourage isolation and quarantine, but that's not a foolproof system.
All right, 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Ellen in Mid-City, L.A., has a question, said, I recently had COVID-19 exposed four other people, none of them quarantined. Several had taken a COVID test after they discovered they were exposed, which I understand isn't definitive, she says. What is the proper quarantine protocol, even if you test negative after being exposed to someone who had it?
Yeah, since the incubation period is up to 14 days, the recommendation is that people who are having a significant exposure to somebody who's infectious should quarantine for 14 days after the last day of exposure. And so that means, you know, staying at home as much as possible, limiting contact with other people, and then certainly, you know, social distancing and masking if they do have to go out for essential reasons.
Brian in Glendale said, I plan on picking up my brother from Oakland for the holidays, but he's positive with COVID right now. He thinks it'll be safe to come down after a 10-day period, but I'm not comfortable with that and would like to get Dr. Blumberg's thoughts.
Yeah, so if somebody has a mild case of COVID, then they're no longer considered infectious 10 days after the test or symptom onset, and if their fever has resolved without fever-reducing medication and other symptoms like cough and shortness of breath improving, then they're no longer considered infectious.
All right, 866.
Date of onset.
All right, 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Brian in San Francisco said, my parents want me to come down to a socially distanced Thanksgiving, being outdoors with multiple households. I myself don't think it's a good idea. I still might go because I'm unsure how much longer my parents are going to be around, but it's an uncomfortable situation for 20-plus people to be put in. Brian, thanks for that. Dr. Blumberg, any thoughts for him?
I think you can go into that with the best of intentions, saying that you're going to stay 6 feet away from people. But I've been in those situations, too. For example, in my neighborhood, in the front yard with neighbors, and people just gradually kind of drift closer to each other. So it sounds good in theory, but in practice, I'm very concerned about those kind of gatherings.
Yeah, just because getting everybody for 2 hours or however long to consistently adhere, it's tough.
It's very difficult, and people tend to naturally lean in towards each other when they're making a point. And you know, I found myself drifting back and back until I almost fell into the bushes the last time that happened.
Which isn't good. And the other thing is that often with family gatherings, you've got people who have hearing challenges, and so, you know, we talk louder to be heard, and of course, talking louder then increases the risk. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Just a reminder, coming up next hour, tennis great Hall of Famer Billie Jean King will be with us, talk about a new audio documentary that features her talking about her life, her career, her civil rights activism. She's also a part owner of the Dodgers, she and her partner. So we'll talk about that coming up next hour here on Air Talk. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Pamela writes on the page, Dr. Blumberg mentioned antibodies is an indicator a person has had COVID. How can one know if elevated levels are due to COVID or something else? I have a rare cancer for which I'm periodically tested for IgM and IgG.
Yeah, the test is very specific for COVID, and so it's highly accurate and very specific for COVID, and so it is accurate. We do trust it. There's other IgM and IgG tests for other things that are out there.
Okay, 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. If this is playing out in difficult ways for your family, it's a chance for you to share that experience. Another writer on the page who says, my pod, husband and two adult children, in quotes, are doing a Zoom Thanksgiving with my daughter in New York City, a friend in Oregon, and another in Kenya. Because we love each other and want to survive this, just say no to those who don't care enough about your life. You can share your comments once more on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Dr. Blumberg, as always, we so appreciate your being with us and sharing your expertise. We'll look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you, Larry. And I just like to say, for people who are getting that pressure, remember, hopefully this is just once in a lifetime that this happens. It's a pandemic. It's every 100 years. And by next year, hopefully we'll all have vaccine and we'll all be able to go back to what we enjoy doing.
Man, we'll savor it like never before. The things that we appreciated, but maybe not as richly as they deserved once we have them back. Dr. Dean Blumberg, Professor of Medicine, Chief of Pediatric Infectious Diseases at UC Davis Children's Hospital. We have much more to come on Air Talk. Be back in just 90 seconds.